Welcome to the Rediscover Hour on Relevant Radio, a time to explore our Catholic faith and find out about ways to share the faith with others. Help create the possibility of an encounter with the person of Jesus Christ in the lives of others by living out the call to the new evangelization and helping fellow Catholics rediscover full life in the Church. The Rediscover Hour is brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. The Rediscover Hour starts now.
Welcome to the Rediscover Hour, friends. Patrick Conley, glad to be with you again. First off, my thanks to Mr. Isaac Huss, who took over the show last week as a guest host for me. He did mention, and I want to thank you for all your prayers for some family. My father was facing some health issues, but thanks be to God, they were somewhat averted and allayed, so he didn't have to do the things that we thought he was going to have to do. But prayers for him as he continues to look at the future and some other things that may come up health-wise. But thank you for your prayers. My thanks to Isaac Huss. I thought he did a good job as he just kind of came in cold. We just asked him and he came in, and my thanks to Isaac for doing that. So thanks, Isaac. So my question to you this fine day is, are you feeling kind of that post-holiday depression, that post-holiday letdown? Are you feeling kind of ordinary? We're back into ordinary time, right? And so that's the question that kind of puts into perspective why we even have holidays and solemnities and things like that. They're important, to be sure, but in many ways, these liturgical calendar mountaintop experiences are really equipping us for the work of ordinary time, which doesn't mean boring time, just a reminder. It means ordered time, right? We order our lives through ordinary time. Time is a gift to us so that we can order our lives in participation with God and in accordance with the will that He has for us. So as our lives are being ordered in this ordinary time, it's important for us to remember that the laborious and sometimes tedious work of day to day to day is actually where we see the Lord working His purpose for us out, right? Look at the life of our Lord, right? We celebrated this last weekend, we celebrated His baptism. And although we're not talking about that in our gospel reading this Sunday, we know that after Jesus was baptized, He was sent out into the wilderness, right? The Holy Spirit guided Him out into the wilderness. Boy, you talk about post-holiday depression. So He's fasting for 40 days and nights after His baptism, this glorious theophany of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Son rising out of the water, the voice of the Father coming down from heaven, and the Holy Spirit descending like a dove and alighting upon Him. We see and hear the members of the Trinity in almost an unprecedented way. And then that same Holy Spirit that graced Him in such a way, well, of course, He's of one nature with the Holy Spirit, right? Our Lord is. But that same Holy Spirit then drives Him out into the wilderness for 40 days of fasting and prayer in preparation for the work of ministry that is then becoming, that is coming before Him, the 3 years of ministry, culminating, of course, in His excruciating torture, death, and then glorious resurrection, right? But it's in that time, it's in the times, in a sense, in between the times, the time between the solemnities, between the holidays, between the celebrations, that God works out His plan for us. It's like the celebrations and solemnities are a time for us to sit back and take stock, to take perspective of what's going on, and to get reinvigorated for the work ahead. And that's what ordinary time is all about. It's ordering our lives, again, in accordance, in participation with the divine nature and in accordance with the will that God has for us. So the challenge today is to stay in the moment, to accept the things that are going on, the thing that's going on right now in your life, whether you're in the car headed somewhere, or whether you're at home, whether you're listening to the show through an archive, through some link, whatever you're doing, that right now God is working His will and His purpose out through you, And it's our responsibility to say yes. So stay in the moment. Don't be wishing time away. I do like the quote by a Protestant missionary called Jim Elliot, who said, "Wherever you are, be all there." Wherever you are, be all there. All right. So focus in on this moment as what God has for you right now, and be there, right? Okay, we've got a great show coming up for us here on Relevant Radio, here on the Rediscover Hour. We're going to start with Joanne and Alan Foley, who are going to be talking about a grandparent-centered ECFL program, that's Early Catholic Family Life program. After that, Gina Bauer is with us to talk about her new offering for women, The Upper Room, A Day of Reflection and Prayer. And then a little bit later on in the program, Jean Stolfested from the Archdiocesan Office of Marriage, Family, and Life is going to be with us to talk a little bit about some of the pro-life work that's going on in and around the Archdiocese and how you can get involved. That's what's coming up here on the Rediscover Hour. Let's, as always, pause here at the top of the show, submit to the show to our Lord through the intercession of our Blessed Mother, as together we pray in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Joining me now in studio, Joanne and Alan Foley are native Minnesotans. They're graduates of the U of M. Alan earned his MBA at the University of St. Thomas. They're members of St. Peter's in Richfield. They have also graduated from the Harry J. Flynn Catechetical Institute. They have 4 children and 9 grandchildren. Alan and Joanne, welcome to the program.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, Patrick.
It's great to have you with us. Thanks for being here. We're talking about ECFL, but specifically we want to get on a grandparents initiative that's going on there. But why don't you start, maybe, Alan, tell us a little bit about what ECFL actually is.
Okay. So we've been at this a long time, I think about 20 years or so. Early Catholic Family Life is a program that's designed to bring Jesus into the home of young parents with children. So it's a 7 or an 8 week course. And it's modeled after a public school program called Early Childhood Family Education. So Joanne taught in that program in the public schools for many years, and she saw that the structure of the program would work very well for teaching Catholicism to young children. So at some point many years ago, we talked to the Archdiocese, and they sponsored us to create a pilot for Early Catholic Family Life, which is ECFE except for Catholic families. So it's focused on creating a home with Christ at the center and enabling parents to effectively model our beautiful Catholic faith to their children.
Sounds like it's really empowering the parents to be that primary catechist that we know them, that they're meant to be, correct?
Exactly. So it's very much focused on the parents being the faith leaders of their children, the children looking to their parents for guidance about Catholicism, and establishing the parents in the home as the ones the children are looking to learn about Catholicism.
And is it a curriculum? Maybe, Joanne, since you taught in that realm in ECFE and now ECFL, is it a curriculum that parents get and then follow? Is it a regimen of things that they do? What is it? Give us a little bit of an insight there.
Well, there are 8 classes, and the parents come for 2 hours with their children. So the first hour is about parent-child interaction time. So we set up the classroom, or the room that we have in the parish, with all of the different activities that children will do with their parents. So we invite the parents to come in with their children and give them guidance about just kind of things to talk about with their child as they do the activities. For example, the first class is God made everything. So it's a concept that we give to children just naturally. But so we set up the classroom so that they will come in. We have fish, you know, real live minnows in the water table.
Nice.
So it's a matter of saying, God made everything. Talk to your child about all the things God made. He made these little fish, and then the kids are just having a ball, forgetting that this is a new place, and they're dipping dip nets and getting the fish out and having fun with that. But there's other activities all across the room, and we're just inviting parents to come in and as staff there, we're just assisting the parents by maybe holding their baby, because I don't know that we mentioned, but the ages for this is parents with children 0 to 5 or 6. Or 7. So it's those very young children. And so the infants are not going to get those concepts, but by the time they're 2.5, they do. Mm-hmm. So it's a matter of inviting the parents to come in then and be with their children and the parents, because very soon those little infants are going to be 2. And it's a matter of kind of, and then, so that's the first hour. It's parent-child interaction ended by a circle time where the teacher then does take the leadership role and talk about, okay, what did we do here? And what are these concepts we're trying to give to our children? But we do it in a fun way with songs, with finger plays, with welcoming stuff. So it's a fun time, but it's very short because the children are young. And then that's the cutoff time for when we do separation. So then the parents will go with the parent discussion leader, and the children will stay with the early childhood leader and the assistants, because that's when we need the work to help the children through the next part, which for them is also more fun. I mean, we do wonderful reading with the children and songs with the children and more activities with the children.
Now, you said, Alan, that you've been at this for a number of years now, about 20 years. Mm-hmm. And so give us an example of what's some of the fruit that you've seen from all your labors here. How have you seen parents or children respond to ECFL?
Yeah, so it really is wonderful to be the parent discussion leader. So continuing what Joanne was saying, there's a point in the two-hour class when the parents and children separate, and the parents go for a parent discussion time. And with the grandparents program, of course, it would be the grandparents going into a separate room to talk about issues that are relevant to the role that they have in witnessing the faith to their children or grandchildren. And I've been so fortunate to be in the room many times with parents when they've talked through these very simple topics, very simple questions that we present to them, things like, tell us who taught you to pray. You would just not believe the depth and the wealth of the conversation that takes place through that sort of simple question. So very often when we're teaching this to parents and we ask them that simple question, the role of their parents and the role of their grandparents will emerge in the most beautiful way. And they'll even get emotional just talking about what they witnessed in their home. Or one woman said when she tried to answer that question, she had suddenly a very vivid memory of being at her grandmother's house and seeing her grandmother in prayer. Just very powerful. And it was just like stunning to her that she recalled that and how vivid it was. So that's the fruit of the program. It's discovering and rediscovering the treasure that our faith is. Mm. And it just comes out in just about every class.
Mm. Yeah.
So it's wonderful. Wonderful for the people that when we do training, I usually train the parent educators, and I like to tell them that they're in for a very powerful and a very rich experience because of the depth of the conversation that occurs in the room when we have parent discussion.
Mm-hmm.
Also, those parents become friends with one another. They often, on the evaluations after the class, will say, we pray more in our home. We do a lot more activities, remembering that you can bring it to your children in everyday ways. You can bring your faith into your family in everyday ways, which, as you mentioned before, is the key. It's the parents who are going to pass this down to their faith, or the grandparents. It's the way we witness our lives, love our faith, and inform our lives based on our faith.
Yeah.
And our love of Jesus.
Right, absolutely. Now, the grandparents component of this is a new venture for you. I mean, you're just starting this up, right? So give us an idea for how is that, how is it similar to, and then how is it going to differ, do you think, from the what you've been doing for so many years with parents?
Well, our roles as grandparents, and we're grandparents of a wonderful 9 grandchildren, and your role is way different as you know when you're a grandparent. You can just love these kids to death, and we anticipate that they'll come with their young children, the young grandchildren, and we'll have fun together. You know, they're going to be doing these faith-based activities, which gives you opportunities to talk then more about the things that you've done and why our faith is important to us. So we anticipate that it's going to be the same fun time with their grandchildren as it is with the parents to come with their children. And then the discussion time, which will be different because we're grandparents, we'll talk about how grandparents can inform our own children, how we can share our richness of our faith with our grandchildren, either in ways when they're there with us together or just in the way we talk about our faith or why it's important to us or the experiences we've had, because we've had a lot of experiences over our years.
And I think grandparents have so much to share with their grandchildren in a very gentle way, just communicating to their grandchildren about the love that they have for the faith and witnessing to how much they love Catholicism is probably the most important thing that they can do. And just telling stories to their grandchildren about when they were children, stories about their first communion, stories about first reconciliation, those are very powerful messages for grandchildren to hear. And they get a sense that these people who they care about really love the Catholic faith, and that's one of the most important things we can communicate.
Absolutely. Why don't you give us some of the details about when this grandparent-centered ECFL event is taking place?
We're going to do it on Wednesday mornings in February and the first part of March, so we have six classes set up, and it will be from 9:30 to 11:30 in the morning on Wednesdays at St. Peter's Catholic Church in Richfield. And it's for parents again, or grandparents again, with their children 0 to 6. Most of the other children are going to be in school. And it's for infants as well. So it will be an opportunity for those grandparents, excuse me, who are maybe doing childcare with their grandchildren or can access those children during the daytime.
Is there a way that people need to sign up for that?
Yeah, they'll register by calling the St. Peter's Parish office at, well, I'll give you the numbers, 612-866-5089. Or they can register also by email, and I can give that email.
Sure.
alanfoll@gmail.com. So it's alanfoll@gmail.com.
Yeah. Very good. Okay. And is there a fee involved, a registration fee? Okay.
Yep, there is. It's $25 a family for those six classes.
$25 for all six?
Yes.
Not a piece?
No.
Wow. That sounds like quite the deal.
Yep.
Makes me wish I was a grandparent so I could come and sign up. You know, one of the things that really strikes me in that it really opens up, I know, knowing some grandparents, I know that they are passionate about bringing the faith to their grandchildren. But they can feel a little stifled because there's not an open opportunity for them to, or they always feel like they're kind of forcing it and everything. This, to me, seems like the perfect place where you can bring your grandkid for a specific time, and it actually doesn't just give permission, but it encourages you to talk to your grandchildren about the faith. And that's pretty unique. Mm-hmm. And I assume that's part of the thought behind the whole structure of the program.
Yeah, it definitely is. So again, it's about witness. It's about parents and grandparents witnessing the faith to their grandchildren and their children. So it's less about teaching. So there's not in our program in ECFL as well as the grandparents ECFL. It's not about communicating a lot of deep theological insights and questions. It's about showing your children the love you have for the Catholic faith. And so people can come, they don't have to worry about being prepared or knowing a lot about the faith, because it's just a gentle process where they're able to meet with other grandparents too and talk about the issues that they might share. So we've seen it work so powerfully with parents, and we just know that it's going to work very well for grandparents as well.
One of the dynamics I know that can be a struggle is between grandparents who are solidly in the faith, but parents who may have fallen away or left the church and that sort of thing, and then there can be a tension there. So What would you say to somebody, a grandparent, who may be listening and saying, I want to bring my grandkids to this, I want to participate, but I'm not sure how to ask the parents' permission? What, any suggestions about what they might do to explain what it is that they're taking the grandkids to?
Well, it is an ask. It is the parents' role to raise their children in the faith.
Right.
So we can be, as grandparents, we can be role models, we can be witnesses of our faith, we can share who we are and how our faith informs our lives. And so we do that ask and let the parents know that what this program is about doing faith-based activities with their child. Mm-hmm. So, but those activities are wonderful play that children can do and talk about, and grandparents can talk with them about their faith. So it would be that. It would be letting the parents know that it is about, we're going to be playing Mass. We're going to be baptizing our dollies and talking about baptism. We're going to be visiting the church and seeing and talking about what's there in the church. So we are going to be doing faith-based activities, and it has to be an okay thing for the parents. And then part of that is the support that we give one another, the importance of our faith in just prayer for all of our families to continue in the faith, our grandchildren, our children, everyone, because we see the importance and the value of it, and we want that to continue.
Right, right. It's so very important.
And I think the grandparents have to know, and probably many of them do, but they have to believe in their heart that this is God's work, mm-hmm. and that they are cooperating in what God has to do in the lives of their grandchildren and in the lives of their children. So many grandparents we know are concerned about just the point that you brought up, Patrick. I have children who aren't as strong in the faith as perhaps I'd like them to be for the benefit of my grandchildren. But they need to come to this program, talk with other grandparents about that difficulty in their lives, gain strength from other grandparents as they go down that road together, and again, just be gentle witnesses to their grandchildren about how much they love the church.
Yeah, wonderful. We are nearly out of time, but let's hit those details one more time, for this is the grandparent-focused ECFL program for, it's a way for grandparents to share the faith with their grandchildren. Alan, you want to give it one more time?
Sure. It takes place at St. Peter's in Richfield. It takes place on Wednesdays. It's a two-hour class, 9:30 to 11:30. It's every week in February, so the 5th, the 12th, the 19th, and the 26th, and then two more weeks in March, March 4th and the 11th. There is a cost of $25, and the way that grandparents can sign up is by contacting us through our email address, which is alanfoal@gmail.com, or you can call the St. Peter's Parish office at 612-866-5089.
All right, very good. Joanne and Alan Foley, and all your work, we pray for you. God bless you in that. Thank you for the work that you do, and thank you for joining us here on the Rediscover Hour.
Thanks, Patrick.
God bless.
All right. We're going to go to break. When we come back, we've got Gina Bauer with us talking about a new offering she has put together called The Upper Room, A Day of Reflection and Prayer. Stay with us. Rediscover.
Hi, this is Matt Burke, former Minnesota Viking and Super Bowl champion, here for Catholic United Financial. Did you know Catholic United Financial is now a $1 billion company? Not bad for starting over 140 years ago in a St. Paul church basement with $635 and change. They aren't the biggest, but they're absolutely rock solid when it comes to your finances. You don't get to $1 billion in assets by being anything less. They've sold life insurance from the start, when it was about people pooling their resources to help each other in times of need. They also provide ultra-safe and secure financial products like annuities, which are a great complement to anyone's financial portfolio. And they now offer Medicare Supplement Health Insurance for those 65 and older. Maybe it's time you aligned your finances with your faith, like my family did, and join a $1 billion financial company you can trust. Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they are there for life. Look them up at CatholicUnitedFinancial.org. It's more than you.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Gina Bauer is now with us, who currently works as a Catholic speaker for youth and adult retreats and parish missions, both locally and nationally. She also works as the director of spiritual life for Unity High School in Burnsville. And she's married, she has been married to Dwayne Bauer, and they're celebrating, is that right, your 30th anniversary this year?
Yes, the whole year we're celebrating.
Awesome. That's the way to do it. And they have four wonderful children as well. Gina, welcome to the Rediscover Hour.
Thank you for inviting me. It's great to be here.
I'm so glad that you can join us here. Why don't you give us just a, before we get into the upper room here, why don't we just give us a sense of, these young adult retreats, these youth retreats, these adult retreats and parish missions, what is at your heart when you go to share, when you're asked to come to a parish and give one of these retreats or missions?
Well,
what fires you?
What fires me up? Mm-hmm. Well, I think it's all about life. And if we're going to counter the despair and the death and the suffering, we're going to have to bring life back into the church. And so we just focus on life. It's all about life, and it's a, you know, being called to a higher life than we could ever imagine. Mm-hmm. And people, the kids and the adults, everybody gets excited about that. So I like to use stories, and I like to use true stories with scripture, and always pointing back to the church and bringing them back. You know, being a little lighthouse out there,
yep, right.
And just pointing the light to the light.
Right.
You know,
right. Yeah, that's about it. And an interesting analogy, because lighthouses, of course, also warn against danger, right? So they say, don't go this way, go that way. So I love the pointing the light to the light. Wonderful. Now, where did the idea for this offering of this upper room, day of reflection and prayer, where did the whole idea for this come from? Where did the inspiration come? I mean, I know from the Holy Spirit. I'm trusting that.
Uh-huh.
But give us, piece it together, how it came about in your mind and in your prayers and then in reality.
Well, I felt like God was calling me to be a light, to not put my light under the bushel basket, right?
Yep.
And I was praying about how to do this, and I worked with my spiritual director a little bit, and we heard about this blessing house in Victoria, and the story behind it is beautiful, how the house came to be, but I went to check out this house, and it's just, it's a really safe place just to come in. It's beautiful. It's very Christ-centered. And I thought, you know, maybe people would come here just to rest for a day, which is what they want. Mm-hmm. And then when they come, we could teach them about Jesus, and it could be a Catholic person there and shining the light back to the church.
Yeah.
And so I decided, with permission from my spiritual director, to give it a shot. And we did it last June, which is odd because we, a lot of people don't do retreats in June.
Mm.
And we ended up with about 30 people who came, and they were from all walks of life. It was women. That one was for women. And we had a very blessed day in the upper room.
Mm.
And they were the ones who said, please keep doing this. And so then we decided to come up with a schedule and just keep going with it and just let there be a lighthouse for people to come.
That's great. So, now, we've been hitting it a few times here recently on our calendar events at the end of the program on the Rediscover Hour, but give us the details. So how do women participate, and give us the dates, the times, all the details that way.
Okay. So what we're going to do is, starting January 31st, we'll have the Holy Spirit in You, Part 2, Walk in Love, and that is open to women. And then February 28th is the Ladies' Lenten Day of Reflection, focused on freedom in Christ. On March 27th, we are going to open it up to men and women, and that's going to be on the Rules of the Red Sea, which is a really fun retreat.
Did you say the Rules of the Red Sea?
Yes. It's based on Exodus chapter 14.
Okay.
I read a book years ago by Robert Morgan, and I integrated Catholic teachings and faith with it and came up with these 10 rules of the Red Sea. It's just beautiful about how to follow the Lord.
Hmm.
And everything in the Old Testament points to the New, so it's so perfect for today's time. And we did have men asking to come to these retreats, but the women were like...
no.
And I was
thank
saying, but
you.
But part of the mission too, right now, I feel in the church, is that we need to build unity, unity between men and women, unity in our families, and unity with other churches. And so we decided, so I'm working with my director, and we just decided let's do some retreats for women only, and then let's do some for men and women so that the women can bring the men in their life, or men that just want to come can come, which is what we had happen. And we'll see what happens. And so that retreat, I recently did that one in California.
Okay.
And it went over really well.
It did. The rules of the Red Sea.
Yeah. Do you want to hear just like one
please.
Rule is?
Yeah. Okay. I'm interested here.
There's 10 rules. One of my favorite rules, I think it's the third one, is acknowledge your enemy, but keep your eyes on the Lord.
Hmm.
And so often we acknowledge the Lord, but we keep our eyes on the enemy.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, we're always afraid. We walk in fear. We act in anxiety. We are always trying to be safe and secure. Well, the Lord didn't want that. Mm-hmm. So the first rule of the Red Sea is wherever you are is where you're supposed to be.
You weren't even in here, but that's exactly what I was talking about at the top of the show today.
Oh, perfect.
Wherever you are, be all there.
Yep. All there. So what happened was, if you read in Exodus chapter 14, the Lord says, tell the children of Israel to go here and camp here.
Right.
He sets them up to be trapped. He's trapped.
I never thought about it that way.
He sets them up. They're totally trapped. They've got the mountains on one side. They've got the sea in front of them, and Pharaoh's coming up from behind.
Yikes.
And they cry out to the Lord. And it's just so beautiful, because the Lord wanted to be glorified, and where he's most glorified is often when we are in a situation that there's nothing we can do.
Right.
And when we surrender and give it to him, but keep our eyes on him, because if they would have been just looking at Pharaoh and the army, they would have froze and they would not have gone forward. And so in the scriptures, it says, tell the children of Israel, this is another rule, march on.
Okay. Okay.
So it's really practical.
Yep.
And so people like it, because they feel in some of the situations in their life with their children or with their families, with politics. I mean, there's all this stuff to freeze us up. The traffic. You know what I mean? There's all this stuff to freeze us up. And yet the Lord is like, I'm the Lord of this, and I want to be guiding you, and I will part the Red Seas. And if I don't part them, then be content where you are.
Right. Mm-hmm. I love the freedom that actually does come when we recognize that. Now, I'm not saying I'm an expert in this at all, but I have experienced that freedom where you say, you know what? This is so far beyond anything I can do about it.
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I can do is offer it over to the Lord, right?
Right.
And I think that's the mentality that we need to start to get into in even the everyday encounters that we have in life, because we still feel like, right, that, oh, I'm up against this, I'm up against this work pressure, I'm up against this family pressure or whatever it is, and I need to do something about it. But even that needs to be turned over to the Lord.
It does. And it's interesting when you were bringing that up, I was thinking about on April 17th, we're going to have a reflection day on who will move the stone.
Oh.
And the women, this is like the Easter kind of retreat.
Yeah.
Because they had a mission to go and anoint the Lord's body. And yet they were afraid of who is going to move the stone. How are they going to fulfill their mission?
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a lot like you and I. And so, you know, the Lord wants us to keep our eyes on him. I also think about St. Peter, because he was walking on water. So often we focus on St. Peter falling. And as a fallen natured people, but blessed with the Holy Spirit and baptism,
amen,
we tend to focus on the faults of others, and we tend to focus on when they fall. But when you think about it, St. Peter, he walked on water.
He did. Yeah, that's right.
He did. And when he sunk, he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord lifted him up, and he didn't chew him out. He just said, why, oh, ye of little faith,
right?
And so when we do fall, to keep our eyes on the Lord and to let him lift us up.
Right.
So this is what we're going to be talking about in this series of reflections.
Did we hit them all? We talked all about January through April, I think.
Yep. May 15th will be a special invitation to men and women. And this one will be when the day of Pentecost arrived, they were all gathered in one place. And we're really going to talk about how in the upper room, I was really blessed actually, it's been 2 years now, to go to the Holy Lands and to actually go into the upper room.
Mm.
But in the upper room, the men and the women we're all gathered with Mother Mary.
Yep.
And Mother Mary is, you know, we always talk about Mary being the first disciple of the church, but I feel like with the new evangelization, we need to focus on really forming disciples. Mary was formed in the ways of the Spirit. She lived the joyful mysteries. She lived the sorrowful mysteries. She lived the glorious mysteries. And she is now living the luminous mysteries. And I want to use Our Lady to encourage all men and women that in every Eve and in every Adam, there is a Mary, there is a Christ, mm-hmm. and that we have to be united and we have to be gathered together and recognize that the gifts that we all have are to be given.
Yep.
No one has all the gifts.
Right.
We need each other.
That's why
Christ had them all up there.
Yep.
So that's what that retreat will be on.
Great.
And then the last one is going to be June 19th, and it's Ladies' Summer Day of Reflection. This is how I fight my battles.
Uh-oh.
And we're going to help the women to get ready for summer, for the women who have children to get ready for that. Summer vacations, keeping God in your summer, keeping God in your marriage, keeping God in your single life, wherever you are. And what's really been beautiful about these retreats is we're gathering in people from all walks of life. Many are Catholics, some are not.
Okay.
And some are Catholics that have not been practicing for a long time. One woman came in, and I wanted to get to know who my audience was, so I had them all start off with, "I'm in the upper room, and this is how I'm doing."
Mm.
And when we got to her, she said, "I'm in the upper room. I don't know why I'm here. My husband died last year, and you're not even going to give me a lunch today." And the whole room bursted out laughing. And that's true. Part of my retreat series is I'm having people bring their own lunch.
Yeah.
I'm providing coffee and water, and I'm doing this because I'm really there to teach and to encourage. And it's they can bring their lunch, then I don't need to worry about allergies and all that stuff. So often we get caught up in that part, and then we can't do a good job. Yet I do provide some snacks and food there in case anybody forgets, because if they're hungry, they're not going to learn very much.
Right, that's important to look to the physical as well.
Yes.
So how many hours for each one of these?
Each one of these will start. What we're doing is we're having the day start at, they can come in about 9 or 9:30, but we'll start at 10 o'clock. So they have time to come in and relax and have coffee and get to know each other.
Mm-hmm.
And then we'll be done by 3 o'clock to avoid traffic.
Okay.
Yep.
Very good. And they're all on Saturdays?
Nope. Actually,
oh, I'm sorry.
They're on Fridays.
On Fridays. Okay.
So we chose to do it on Friday because people just love their weekends.
Yeah.
And a lot of people will take off work on a Friday and then have an extended weekend because this is their retreat day.
Yeah.
But it's very hard to give up a Saturday when you have, you know, laundry or lawns to mow or people to connect with, things to get done. I just have found this. So I decided to try it. And then once we did it, we interviewed and asked the people, and they said yes. They were more than willing to clear their schedule to take a day for God. That's what they needed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But one day a month, it seems pretty straightforward, not too burdensome. Cost is $40 per person for each session, or special pricing?
$200, yeah.
For all six?
Yeah, there you go.
There's a deal. Yeah, very good.
But you can, they don't build on each other.
So they're independent?
They're independent. I mean, I'll be crossing back and forth for the people who are there, but it's just like one of those great book series. You can just jump in and grab what you can.
And let me make sure I have this right. They're all, women are invited to all of them.
Right.
Men are invited to March and May. Did
yes.
If I got that right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. And all we'll see how that goes. I might have the men are kind of speaking up a little here.
All right. All right. Well, we'll put some pressure on you, Gina. Then you can come up with something else. And how do people find out more and how do they register?
They can go to my website at ginabauer.com.
That's B-A-U-E-R.
Yep. B-A-U-E-R. And sign up there. Or if they want, they can just show up that day and sign up with an email to me so I can be ready to host them.
Yeah, that's great. Well, Gina, God bless you and all the work that you're doing. This
Thank
sounds
you.
Fantastic. I think we should have you back afterwards and see how it went, what some of the fruit
great.
Was, what the Lord does.
Yeah.
Thanks, Gina, and God bless you.
Thank you.
All right, we're going to go to our next break. And when we come back, we've got Jean Stolpelsted, who's the director of the Archdiocesan Office of Marriage, Family, and Life, about pro-life activities. Stay with us. Reach.
discover.
How has Relevant Radio impacted your daily walk with our Lord?
I'd just like to offer up 1,000 thanksgivings to our Father in Heaven. I've been praying the chapel with you guys for the past 19 months. While I was incarcerated, my heart has been so softened through this ministry.
Oh gosh, the fruit of Relevant Radio has been off the charts. Lives have been changed. Prayer has been fostered. It's just been a wonderful, wonderful gift to, I know, a lot of communities. And now the world can listen to us in the country over our mobile app. We're listener-supported Catholic talk radio, and there's very few of these types of stations in the nation. And we try to give you a different look at life. And in order to stay on the air, we rely on you and your generosity.
Donate now. Join our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. There are both spiritual and practical benefits to joining our St. Joseph Recurring Gift Society. Call 1-877-291-0123. 1-877-291-0123.
By my side to be everything I'm not. I breathe deep the breath of God.
Welcome back to the Rediscover Hour here on Relevant Radio. Patrick Conley with you again, along with Kathy Berhume is our producer today. Paul Sonic, our technical producer, coming to you from the Relevant Radio 1330 AM studios in Golden Valley, and brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they are there for life. Joining me now in studio, Gene Stolpelstedt is the Director of Marriage, Family, and Life for the Archdiocese, the Office of Marriage, Family, and Life, I should say. She herself has been married for almost, you're coming up on 40 years, is that right, Gene?
Pretty close.
Wow, all right. And you've got three sons, and I have five grandchildren, is
correct.
That right? Okay,
yeah.
Wow. Congratulations, nice
Thank
big
you.
Family there. How are things going there at the Office of Marriage, Family, and Life?
It's really busy.
I would imagine, yeah. And we got the synod thing going on, too.
Oh, right. There is so much really good work that is going on in our archdiocese in the area of family. Mm. And also in the pro-life and just life in general, the promotion of all that is good and dignity of the human person.
Yeah.
So the office really hops. We also work a lot with youth.
Mm-hmm.
So youth ministry and just the faith formation and development of Catholic youth as well, and providing them with opportunities to really be evangelized and immersed in the Catholic culture and form a strong Catholic identity.
Right. Very important, especially in and amongst our young ones, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, thanks for the work that you do and your team does, and thanks for joining us here on the Rediscover Hour. You mentioned pro-life activities and
yeah.
it being the month now, January, of the Roe v. Wade decision and a lot of our March for Life, a lot of our attention gets focused a lot on pro-life. So give us a sense of, what are some of the pro-life things going on in and around the Archdiocese?
Right. Well, there is, as always, that we have our prayer service for life, which mm-hmm. is kind of an ecumenical held at the cathedral on the 22nd. And then we march down to the Capitol and for the rally
mm-hmm.
on the steps of the Capitol. And that's always really huge. There's always about 3,500 people or more that will come to pray before
amazing.
The rally.
Yeah.
I know. I just, it always overwhelms me. And the vast majority of those persons sitting in the pews at the cathedral are young people.
Yeah. Yeah. I've attended those prayer sessions, those praying for life.
Right.
And
right.
I'm always astonished. I mean, it's from even the elementary school
yeah.
age. Well, yeah, there are infants there, which I assume obviously they're not getting there on their own. So their moms or their dads are bringing them.
Right.
But yeah, you see kids, you see high school students, and then you see even, early college, young adult, that
exactly.
sort of thing. It's amazing.
Oh, and they're so passionate. And when you think that it's been 47 years that we've had the results of the Roe v. Wade decision, and almost 62 million babies have been aborted.
Mm.
About 650,000 here in Minnesota.
Lord have mercy.
I know. Mm. And I think these young people are looking around and they're saying, those are my friends. Those were potentially my classmates. And it could have been potentially me.
Right.
And so they're very, very passionate about the effects of our current culture of death
mm-hmm.
and abortion laws and rules. So we do see huge engagement. As a matter of fact, we have, I want to say it's pretty close to 270 high school youth
mm.
who are going to take a week
and head out to Washington, D.C.
Yeah, right.
And they're going to spend this week. And it's not just showing up for the March for Life in D.C. There's a whole lot of education that goes on beforehand. And they're on the buses, and they're learning about the laws and how our government works. And they're learning about the results and options for women who find themselves in an untimely pregnancy.
Mm.
And they actually take opportunities to not only learn and to pray, but to plan. When I get home, what I've experienced and learned, how am I going to make a difference?
Yeah, exactly.
What am I
going to
do?
Right.
Right? So it's an opportunity for them to step back and make a plan so that when they get off the bus again, back in St. Paul, they can hit the ground running and start really living that culture of life.
I love it. Mm-hmm. There again, reflecting on something I was saying at the top of the show, you weren't in the studio at that time, but I was saying how, you know, solemnities and celebrations like Christmas mm-hmm. help us to prepare for the everyday work of ordinary life. Much the same way, I would think a mountaintop experience like going to the National March for Life right. in Washington, D.C., but it's not meant to be just a flash in the pan type of thing.
Correct.
It's meant to foster further work once you return home and are going about the everyday
right.
life. Yeah.
Well, and we have, again, just within our youth, they have set up pro-life youth clubs in public schools. I mean, I'm so proud of these young people. They've totally taken on the man.
Mm-hmm.
And some of them have been expelled from school for their pro-life beliefs.
No kidding.
Yeah, and some of them have been publicly humiliated, and still they stand firm and pursue the proclamation of the gospel of life.
Yeah, God bless them.
I know, wow. I'm just so proud of them.
A lot of that Holy Spirit gift of fortitude going on there,
sure.
I think, standing up and
sure.
doing the right thing, yeah.
And I think a lot of times, too, adults want to say, well, how can I help these young people?
Yeah, yep.
And I think, really, the best way, well, there's several ways, but first off the bat, pray.
Mm-hmm.
Pray for them. Pray for the end of abortion. Pray for the dignity, the respect of the dignity of all human life. And then take action. Allow them. Support them. Stand with them. Be out there in the public square. They're taking a risk. Take that risk with them. We have many pro-life liaisons in parishes throughout the Archdiocese.
Okay. Yeah, what's the role of a pro-life liaison?
That is in your particular parish
mm-hmm.
to make sure that those issues of life and mercy and goodness for the human person are elevated
mm-hmm.
and made known so that we don't just forget about it except for January 22nd.
Right.
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 So that it's always part of the way we think, always elevating the dignity of the human person. And there are a lot of programs. If you don't have a pro-life liaison group or a community caring for life in your particular parish,
mm-hmm.
You can call Nancy Schulte at our office. Or Joe Langfeld and Human Life Alliance is also creating some leadership programming for parishes. And he would be an excellent resource and would love to come out and speak with parishes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So there are, I mean, there's different ways that you can go about starting these pro-life or communities caring for life groups in your parish. And it is definitely about protecting and changing the status of the unborn so that they are safe.
And they're recognized as human
persons.
Exactly. Human persons. Yeah, right.
Exactly. But it's more than that. It's also providing opportunities for the works of mercy.
Okay.
For caring for the troubled, the homeless, the sick, the aged, the lonely, all of those different things. So it really takes a long view
mm-hmm.
of our culture of life.
Mm-hmm. One of the facets, that's the word I'm looking for. One of the facets of pro-life work and pro-life the focus of pro-life that has always intrigued me is how we can respond to the needs of mothers or, you know, pregnant mothers who find themselves in an unwanted or a crisis-type pregnancy where abortion is a real option, and it's maybe a very tempting option as well. So what can we do for those women? What are out there? How can we pray?
Oh, right, again, prayer is always the best.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's really important to know that love them,
mm-hmm.
care for them, be empathetic to their fear because it's real. When you have people like Michelle Williams at the Golden Globes standing up, this actress who is supposedly quite idolized and revered, standing up and saying, I am only successful because I aborted my baby.
Mm.
That affects people, the way people think. So just standing up for the mother and saying, I understand how afraid you are, but we can help you. We can help you find a place to live if you need a place to live. We can help you with your bills if you need that. In all aspects,
mm-hmm.
you can be safe and secure, and you don't have to hurt yourself mm-hmm. or your child.
Right.
So even in our office, we do have the Life Fund, which provides grants to women and families of with infants or pregnant women to help them get through some of their immediate financial needs.
Yeah.
And all they have to do is give us a call.
Yeah. What about those women who have chosen to have an abortion and are now faced with some of the physical, psychological, spiritual, trauma, aftermath of having done that?
Right. It's amazing. Planned Parenthood just recently came out with a study that says, oh, no, it doesn't affect women at all.
Oh, wow.
I know, right? Talk about fake news.
Mm-hmm.
So we do have the Rachel's Vineyard retreats, and there's counseling available, and there's even a fund that we can work with men or women who have gone through an abortion experience, and we can help them pay for psychological counseling if they need it, if they choose to do so. All they have to do is reach out, and we are more than happy to help them. There's no judgment. We have nothing but concern and care for them.
Yeah. I think that's oftentimes in a larger society, misunderstood and misrepresented that, if you never want to talk about something like that with the church. But, priests, I'm sure have heard countless women and men confess abortion, that sort of thing. And then we have all these resources that are available. So all they have to do is reach out. How do they reach out to you in your office, Jean?
That all they have to do is pick up the phone or send us an email.
Okay.
And they can call us at 651-291-4488 or just email us at the Archdiocese. Just if you run into a person that you know who's suffering,
mm-hmm.
invite them to fall into the arms of mercy.
Right.
Invite them to just take a chance on being loved.
Yeah. Amen to that. Well, Jean, God bless you and all the work that you do. Thank you for the work of you and your team there at the office of the Archdiocesan Office of Marriage, Family, and Life. And as we're continuing on through just January, we'll pray that it's not just a January event, but we'll keep pro-life as well as the importance of marriage, of family, and of life in our minds and in our prayers throughout the year.
Thank you so much, Patrick.
God bless you.
God bless you.
All right, we're going to go into our final break. When we come back, Paul and I will have all sorts of events to help you deepen your relationship with the Lord. So stay with us.
Hi, this is Matt Burke, former Minnesota Viking and Super Bowl champion here for Catholic United Financial. Did you know Catholic United Financial is now a $1 billion company? Not bad for starting over 140 years ago in a St. Paul church basement with $635 and change. They aren't the biggest, but they're absolutely rock solid when it comes to your finances. You don't get to $1 billion in assets by being anything less. They've sold life insurance from the start, when it was about people pooling their resources to help each other in times of need. They also provide ultra-safe and secure financial products, like annuities, which are a great complement to anyone's financial portfolio. And they now offer Medicare Supplement Health Insurance for those 65 and older. Maybe it's time you aligned your finances with your faith, like my family did, and join a $1 billion financial company you can trust. Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they are there for life. Look them up at CatholicUnitedFinancial.org.
Are you feeling ordinary, Paul?
Well, I'm always feeling ordinary.
You are one of the most extraordinary ordinary guys I know.
I'm feeling shockingly normal.
I wouldn't have you any other way. What we got going on?
Tons of things. Pray for life.
The annual prayer service for life will be Wednesday, January 22nd. Begins at 10:30 a.m. at the Cathedral of St. Paul. This prayer service commemorates the millions of lives lost to abortion and the many men and women wounded by abortion's aftermath. All are invited and welcome. Immediately following the prayer service, we'll walk to the state capitol for the MCCL March for Life rally. For more information, contact the Office for Marriage, Family, and Life, 651-291-4488.
Discerning and using your charisms can change your own life, your family, your parish, and the world. Explore the ancient teaching of the Church on how the gifts or charisms of the Holy Spirit work in your life and in the life of your parish. St. Henry's in Monticello invites you to join them for a one-day called and gifted workshop on Saturday, January 25th from 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. To register for the workshop, visit the events page on archspm.org.
Also January 25th, the Cathedral of St. Paul will host a Woman's Day of Reflection and Holiness with Dr. Kate Souchere. Theme for the day, Domestic Church, the Real Presence of Christ in Our Homes. It'll center around making our homes the domestic churches they're meant to be. This day of reflection is on Saturday, January 25th, 8 to noon. It includes Mass, hot breakfast, seminar, prayer, and fellowship. Visit domesticchurch.eventbrite.com to register.
And here's that event. Well, it's the event information that we had with Gina Bauer. Women of all ages are invited to the Upper Room, a day of reflection and prayer. Renew yourself monthly with spiritual reflections and practical life tools to grow in holiness with six once-a-month sessions at the Blessing House. The first session is Friday, January 31st, and men are invited both in March and in May. Cost is $40 per person or special pricing of $200 for all six sessions. To register for the retreat online, go to ginabauer.com/retreat registration. Walk-ins are welcome, and contact Gina Bauer for questions.
Come hear renowned speaker, filmmaker, and author Jennifer Lal, president for the Center for Bioethics and Culture Network, discussing the health risks, legal ramifications, and moral imperatives of surrogacy and third-party assisted fertility technologies. You have two opportunities to hear this informative and fascinating presentation, sponsored by Argument Club for Women and the Siena Symposium, Tuesday, February 4th, 7 to 9 p.m., St. Odelia in Shoreview, Wednesday, the 5th of February, 7 to 9, at the 3M Auditorium at the University of St. Thomas, St. Paul campus. Both events are free, open to all. For more details, visit argumentclub.org or contact St. Odelia's Parish Office.
And all those who are suffering from illness, along with all caregivers and healthcare professionals and chaplains, are invited to the World Day of the Sick on February 8th, 2020, at the Church of St. Agnes in St. Paul. Mass will be celebrated by Archbishop Bernard Hebde at 10 a.m., followed by a talk by Dr. Todd Warner, who's a Catholic convert, practicing internal medicine physician, and the managing editor at Word on Fire Catholic Ministries. For more information, email CuratioEvent, that's C-U-R-A-T-I-O event, at gmail.com or call 1-844-CURATIO.
That's a ton of things.
Yeah, yeah. And there's even more. So always remember to go to the events page at archspm.org/events and check out other things that are coming up. And speaking of coming up, on the next Rediscover Hour, we're going to be talking with Bishop-elect Donald DeGroote about his upcoming ordination and installation as the Bishop of Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Also, we'll hear more about the World Day of the Sick. Specifically, we're going to be joined by Todd Warner, who is a keynote speaker there. And we'll get a report from some of the young adults who made the ad limina pilgrimage to Rome. That's what's coming up next time on the Rediscover Hour, folks. Thanks for joining us today. In the meantime, go to church and be the church.
The Rediscover Hour is heard every Friday evening at 9, Saturdays at noon, and Sunday afternoons at 2 on Relevant Radio 1330. Brought to you by Catholic United Financial. Every step, every journey, they're there for life. You can find show archives at rediscover-faith.org and at relevantradio.com, keyword rediscover. The Rediscover Hour is a production of the Archdiocese of St. Paul and Minneapolis in cooperation with Relevant Radio. Rediscover.